34, if you will. Exodus chapter 34, we're going to just have a good time tonight in the Word of God, okay? Exodus chapter 34. I want to begin reading down at verse 27. Verse 27, Exodus chapter 34. And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. What a marvelous passage of Scripture. I'll remind you that what we're reading here, all right, this Scripture here tell us of the end, if you will, of the second 40-day period that Moses had spent with God on Mount Sinai, all right? I'll remind you the first time he was there, all right, it was the same way. You read the Scriptures, and he said for those 40 days and 40 nights that he neither ate bread nor drank water, all right? Now, somebody said, preacher, it's impossible. Not when God's in it. When God's in it, it's not impossible, okay? I'll remind you, the Bible says, for nothing, for with God, nothing shall be impossible, and we need to remember that. But the first time that Moses went up there, came down from the mount at the end of those 40 days, and when he got down, that was when he found the children of Israel dancing naked around the golden calf and in a fit of righteous indignation, all right? He took those two tables of stones and he threw them down and broke them, and so now here it is, God said, come back. So he came back and he went back and he spent another 40 days and 40 nights communing with God, and God gave him all the law, all right? All the law. All that law that we read about here in the Old Testament, later in the book of Exodus and in Leviticus and Numbers, all of that law is what God gave him during those 40 days, okay? When he was there, God gave him that law. He didn't just take 40 days to write the Ten Commandments on the two tables of stone, all right? He wasn't a slow writer. That's not what happened, all right? But he was given him the law, all right? But when Moses went back the second time, at the beginning of those 40 days, God allowed Moses to see his glory, all right? God allowed Moses to see his back as he passed by. He put Moses in the cleft of the rock, and he covered him with his hand as he went by, but he allowed Moses to see his back after he had went through. And because of that, and because of meeting with God, boy, Moses comes down off that Mount Sinai, and he still had a glow on him that was so bright the people had scared him, all right? His countenance was changed and still marked. So, hey, I tell you what, being with God had an effect on Moses. Being with God had an effect on Moses. I'll be honest with you, I don't believe anybody, a man or anybody, can spend some time and spend very much time with God without it affecting him. Without it affecting him. Have you ever had somebody that you were around very much and you found yourself talking like them? I don't know if you ever, I've done that. I went to Savannah, Georgia to visit our family friend named Jesse Payton. I've known him. I've known him as long as I can remember, and he was in the church there in Vidalia, Georgia, my dad started, and As a kid, I remember him, but I went to see him one time, and he has a speech pattern that is a real Georgia drawl, okay? You say, "Preach, that's the way you sound all the time." No, not as bad as his is, all right? But I was there a few days, and I came back, and I found myself talking like that, all right? Just being around him that long, and just that drawl started in. Hey, you get around somebody, it can have an effect on you. I want to tell you, you spend some time with God, it ought to affect you. It ought to affect you. I mean, it ought to be. Now, it was true in Moses' day. It's still true today. Nothing's changed. Now, I'm not saying if you spend time with God, you'll come out and you'll have a shining face, all right? But I believe this with all my heart. I believe you spend time with God, then it's going to show up and it will manifest itself in some way, all right? I believe it with everything that's in me. And I want to give you tonight just a few of those things, all right, that when you've been with God, all right, when you've been with God and you're faithful, that faithful time spent in fellowship with God produces an evident manifestation on the child of God. You can count on it. It will show up. It'll put something on you that's going to make a difference. You spend time with Him, it will matter, all right? And the first thing it'll do, it will, I believe with all my heart, it will affect your countenance. It will affect your countenance. That's the easiest thing for us to be affected. Easiest thing to be affected. You can tell from a person's face if they're mad, right? You look at them, you see that face, boy, they're mad. They're mad. I don't know what happened. That person's mad. On the other hand, somebody's sad. You can see that. Sad. I still got this image in my mind of this little boy. He's honest, he's probably about that tall. Dirty face. He was in the playground at the apartment complex in Saginaw. And I was visiting out there one day, and I came up. That little boy was sitting on the curb with his chin, you know, his elbow on his knee and his chin on his hand. And you talk about a look of utter dejection. He had it, all right? He said, "What was wrong?" "I don't know. I was afraid to ask him, all right? I don't know what it was, but man, you could tell something. He was not a happy camper." Why? Well, it showed up on the face. If you're sick, shows up. Shows up, all right? It affects your countenance, all right? Hey, listen, since you and I haven't been in the physical presence of God, it's not going to shine brightly. Our countenance may not shine brightly the way Moses did, but I believe we spend time with God, it affects our countenance, all right? When Nehemiah was sad, the Bible tells us in the book of Nehemiah, it showed up on his countenance, and the king asked him, "What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?" He saw it. Same thing with people today, all right? The Bible tells us that what happens on the inside can affect our outward looks. Proverbs, take your Bible to Proverbs chapter 15, would you? Proverbs chapter 15. You're going to say, "Man, I've heard that verse." Good, we get to hear it again, all right? Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, look, if you will, down in verse 13, okay? Verse 13. The Bible says a merry heart. Now, we're used to saying, "Well, it doeth good like a medicine," but that's not all it says. Look at verse 13. "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance." A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. All right? Listen, I'll tell you something. I believe you spend time with God, it'll give you a cheerful heart. I believe it'll give you a merry heart, don't you? When I spend time with the Lord, I don't come away dejected. I don't come away sad. I don't come away with a, you know, terrible feeling. I come away from that with a merry heart. What a good thing God met with us, and it affects me, and it shows up on my countenance. You spend time with God, it's not going to leave you downcast. It's not going to leave you bitter. It's not going to leave you belligerent. Hey, you get downcast, bitter, and belligerent when you get away from God. That's when you get away from Him. But when you spend time with Him, it'll put a smile or at least a pleasant look on your face, all right? At least, the very least, ought to put that on your face. It ought to show up. But not only that, I believe you and I ought to have a look about us, all right? I believe you ought to have a look about us. Look, think about it. You're forgiven. all of your sins forgiven. If you're saved, all your sin is forgiven. It's under the blood. It'll never be remembered again. Never be remembered again. So, preacher, I got all kinds of problems. Yeah, and God's got the solution to all of them. There is an ultimate answer and solution for them. You say, well, things look terrible, man, in the world today. And just everything. Good, get excited. His coming draws nigh, all right? And it ought to just make us jump up and down and say, can't be long, can't be long. Talking to my wife this morning, and I don't even remember what started it, but we were talking about just the junk that's going on in the world. And I said, I think they fixed it so bad that we can never get it fixed again. I said, the only thing that'll fix it is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm looking for that return. I'm looking for that return. Listen, you and I as Christians, we can have a merry heart when everybody else is sad and downcast. We've got something to look forward to. We've got something to shout about. We've got something to be excited about. And our countenance ought to reflect the fact if we've been with Him. If we've been with Him. Now, you got to spend time with Him for that to take place, okay? You ever see... Maybe I can go back and shock your memory a little bit. Remember way back yonder when you were dating and how wonderful it was? Some of you said, I can't remember back that far, all right? But you remember back how far? Remember when you came in off a date? What was it like? Survived another one. Well, I hope it wasn't like that, Most people, man, man, what a wonderful time. And dream, mercy, that was great. Hey, it affects the way we look. You spend time with the Lord, it'll affect your countenance. It'll affect your countenance. Not only that, I believe with all my heart, you spend time with Him, it'll affect your conduct. It'll affect your conduct. That first 40 days Moses spent with God did something to Moses. It gave him a holy indignation and anger at the sin of the people of Israel. When he came down off that mount and he found them dancing naked around that golden calf, and remember, the Bible says he took those stones and he threw them down and they broke. Wait a minute, there's one thing you won't find in the Bible. You won't find God saying, Moses, what in the world? I took my finger and I wrote on those. No. You know why? Because God's thinking, that a boy, Moses, you ought to have been mad. You ought to have been mad. You should have been angry. If you come down off of there and you're not angry to see what's going on, something's not right, okay? Just not right. Listen, I believe this. I believe in the very same way it's impossible for you and me to spend time with God and not have it affect your conduct. It's going to cause us to have a hatred for things that are evil. It's just going to cause us to have a hatred for those things that are evil. You're not going to spend time with God and then think, well, I just want to rub up against the filth of the world. No, sir. No, sir. It's going to make you want to speak out against the wickedness that you see. Now, you don't have to take a rock and break it over somebody's head, all right? But you ought to be willing to say to somebody, wait a minute, man, that's wrong. That is dead wrong. You ought not to be doing that. You need to straighten up. You need to live right. It ought to, why? Because we've been with the Lord. We've been with Him. We've tasted of Him. We know what He is like. And we've been around that. And it's got to put something into us where we can no longer go around and celebrate and rejoice over sin and wickedness. No, it ought to put within us a holy desire to stand for what's right, for what's good, to change our conduct, all right, and make us look at ungodly conduct differently. Now, the world looks at it when you say something like this, and you're judging people. No, we're trying to call people to a higher standard. Trying to call people to a higher standard. Look, that's not the way God wants you to live. That's not the way God wants you to live. Moses was aggravated at the people of Israel, okay? That's who he was aggravated at. If you'd let me put it this way, in these terms, he was aggravated at the people of God. And I believe we spend time with God, it ought to make us aggravated with people claim to be Christians and can seem to live such a wicked life. It ought to compel us to speak to them. Now, I think we ought to be careful how we speak to them, but it ought to compel us to speak to them. Hey, what you're doing is wrong. What you're doing is wrong. That's wrong. Somebody gives out with a curse word. Hey, don't talk like that. You know better. You know better. We ought to reprimand them. We'll not just sit and listen and say, no big deal. No, we ought to say something. Why? We've been with the Lord. We've been with Him. It ought to affect our conduct. I guarantee you, dead sure ought to affect your character. It ought to affect your character. The best effect of being with God is a character that radiates holiness. That just radiates holiness. Moses came down and it was his face that shone. I don't know if he was glowing like, you know, we talk about somebody exposed to radiation, but I know he was glowing, all right? I mean, there was a glow about him and it was unmistakable. They could see it. Well, the thing that ought to radiate from us ought to be some holiness of God because we've been with him. Look, if you will, in Acts chapter 4. Look in Acts chapter 4. Man, it's just a super interesting scripture. And what it says here is so important. And boy, if this could be said about us, if this could just be said about us, all right? Acts chapter 4, verse 13, all right? Acts chapter 4, verse 13. I want you to notice here, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Man, what a blessing. What a blessing. That they saw it. They saw it, okay? You said, who's the they? Well, people in Sanhedrin. You back up there in verse 5, it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes, Annas the high priest, Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them, that's Peter and John, in their midst. They set them in their midst, and they challenged and said, man, what do you think you're doing? Who gave you the power? Who gave you the authority? And they said it this way, by what power, by what name have you done this? Then Peter began to speak. And boy, when he got through, the Bible said they took knowledge of them. Hey, they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. Oh, what a testimony if people could say that about us. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every Christian showed up at work on Monday morning and everybody at work there said, well, I can tell you were at church yesterday. Wouldn't that be a good thing? I can tell you went to church yesterday. Wouldn't it be good on Thursday? You went to work and people say, well, you were at church again last night, weren't you? I can tell it. I can tell it. Wouldn't that be a good thing? Just think, what a testimony this. Hey, we spent some time with the Lord. We spent some time with the Lord. But can I say this to you? It doesn't just have to be Sunday and Wednesday you spend time with God. It's not just when we gather inside this building. It's when you sit down and take the time, open your Bible, and read it, let God speak to you, and then you spend some time talking to Him in prayer. You and I ought to spend some time with Jesus, and the world ought to be able to look at our character and say, man, I can tell it's had an effect on you. Had an effect on you. Well, how good it be if folks who do business with us during the week would be able to tell we had spent time with Jesus. How good that would be. That holiness in our character would make an impact on their consciousness. Because of what was in us, all right? And our character ought to radiate that. I mean, everything you can think of about good character, you know, honesty, integrity, truthfulness, and just go on and on and on. All of those character traits that ought to be seen in the life of a child of God, that's our life. It ought to radiate those things. They ought to know you can trust that person. You can trust that person. I mean, to just be honest, say, look, you've given me too much money here. You know, I can't do that, will you? I've got to do you this. I'm going to tell you the truth, all right? Our speech ought to betray the fact that we've been with Jesus. Everything about us. Everything about us. It ought to just stand out. Our whole character just radiate that holiness from within. Why? Because we've spent time with God. We've been with Him, all right? Hey, it ought to reflect on our character, our conduct, all right? I'll tell you this, I believe it'll also affect your continuance. You say, what do you mean? Well, folks that spend time with God will stick it out. Folks that have spent time with God will stick it out. Hey, you folks in here have been saved years. You've gone through some tough times. You've gone through some difficult days. You've had things happen and you've thought, man, why did that happen? And maybe you've even voiced it to God, Lord, why is this happening? Things are going on you don't really understand. You don't see. You don't see why. You don't have the answer to why. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let me remind you, we know He's in control. And if you spend time with God, you'll stick it out. You'll stick it out. Doesn't matter how tough it gets. Doesn't matter how tough it gets. I watched this TV show. I think the title of it was Alone. And they take these people and they take them out into the wilderness. They drop them off. And the winner is the one that can stick it out the longest. Tough it out. I mean, they've got to get, they're allowed to bring certain things, you know, of their choosing. And then, but they have to, all their food, they've got to find it. Their shelter, they've got to make it. All that kind of stuff. And I watched it. It was intriguing to me to watch it. Never forget one guy, they put him out the first day. He looked around, found a few things didn't look good, and he called him in. I'm done. First day. I'm probably sure if it had been me, they'd have pulled up on the boat or the helicopter. Most of them, they dropped them off out of a boat. I would have got up there in the boat and said, let's go back. There's no McDonald's in sight. It's out in the wilderness, and those folks didn't last. You hear me? Hear me. If you spend time with God, you'll stick it out in this old world. And I'm talking about serving God. You won't bail. You're not going to bail out because things get a little tough. You'll stick it out. You'll stick it out. You'll keep on going. You'll battle. You'll fight some battles, but you'll stick it out. You'll stick it out. Because faithfulness is a distinguishing trait of those who constantly fellowship with God. You ever stop and think about the life of the Apostle Paul? Stop and think about what went on with him. You know, it is easy for us to read the book of Acts, not really think a great deal about it. Said, okay, yeah, he got a beaten a few times. He was in a shipwreck, and they stoned him. And well, we don't think about it. We don't really dwell on what all those things are. We don't understand what he went through. We don't have a grasp. But if you sit down and you begin to look at it, you really begin to take a look and study what Paul went through, and you get there where he reels off kind of the short form of his biography since salvation. You know, and he goes down through the things that happened to him. If you stop and consider everything he says, you go, wow. It makes you think differently when you get over there and read. Paul said in Timothy, I have finished my course. I've finished my course. I can understand why a guy like Paul would have got mad at Mark, who turned his back and went back. He said, man, he took off. And when Silas wanted to take him on the next trip, and Paul said, nuh-uh. I'm going to tell you, Paul knew what it was to stick it out when the going was tough. He stuck it out. Why? He had spent some time with God. He had spent enough time with God that he could write for us. And I know he wrote under the inspiration of God, but he could write those words, that I may know Him. That I may know Him. The power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Now, if I'd have been writing it, I'd have left that part off. I'd have said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And the power of His resurrection. Because I'm not a real enthusiastic sufferer, are you? Now, let's just be honest, okay? But Paul knew him. Paul spent some time with him. That's why Paul, it'll affect your continuance if you spend time with God. Now, are you going to be tempted to give up?
Yeah.
Are you going to want to quit sometime?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. But that's what spending time with God will help you. You spend that time with Him, it'll affect your continuance, okay? Not only that, it'll affect your contentment. It will affect your contentment. I can't help. I watch people. I'm a people watcher. And I see folks that they're content. Well, maybe I should say they don't ever really seem to be content. They get a little happy every once in a while. But they don't know what contentment is. They do not know what contentment is. We live in a time we have so much, and then it makes us want so much more. And we're not content with what we have. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now, the truth of the matter is, I could say, how many have learned that? And if we're honest, we'd think long and hard before we stuck our hand up. Because we're not content. I want this, or I want that. And I got to have this, or I got to have that, you know. I need this. Listen, the Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Listen, if you spend time with God, it means you're going to spend time in His Word. You're going to just have to spend time, because that's where He's going to speak to you. He's not going to speak to you because you're sitting out on the mountainside with your legs folded and your hands clasped together going, That's not going to attract God to speak to you from the atmosphere. All right, it's not going to. He's going to speak to you out of His Word. And that's where He's going to speak. So if you're going to spend time with Him, you're going to have to spend time in this book. But if you'll do that, I've noticed the people that do that are people that know how to be content. Just know how to be content. I'm happy. It's not too many adults nowadays are like the little kid. Like the little kid Christmas. They're opening presents. And another present. And another present. And another present. And when they get to the last one, it's, you mean there's no more? You sure? But let me get out my list. There's one thing on here I didn't get. It wasn't me. We're like kids that way. Seems like no matter what we have, we're not contented. There's just something else I've got to have. There's just something else I've got to have. Hey, listen. I believe there's great peace of those learn to love the Word of God. There is contentment to be had in the presence of God. I believe with all my heart, Adam and Eve were content, especially during that time God walked in the garden with them, in His presence. This devil didn't come along then and tempt them, because there was contentment there. There was contentment. The only one I can think of who wasn't content in God's presence. Now, if you think of another one, you don't have to jump me after church, okay? But the only one that I can know of who wasn't really content in the presence of God was Lucifer. He wasn't content. He wasn't content. He knew he was in the presence of God, but he wasn't content. And you can say, what about the Pharisees? What about the Sadducees? Well, they denied they were in the presence of God. But I'm saying, if you know you're in the presence of God, I don't know of anybody else. I don't know of anybody that was discontented except Lucifer. And Lucifer said, I won't take your place. I want your place. He wasn't content. I'm just telling you, all right? I'm telling you that when we'll spend some time with God, okay, it'll have a tremendous effect on us. Now listen real closely. Moses was a shining example of what happens to one who spends time with God. But you may not shine the way Moses did, okay? You may not shine the way he did, but man, there ought to be some evidence that is a manifestation in your life that you've been with the Lord. If it's not there, maybe it's because we don't spend enough time with him. Maybe we've just not spent the amount of time we ought to spend in his presence just to be with him. No, not I'm not reading my Bible just so I can say at the end of the year, I read it through. Now, don't misunderstand me. It's a good thing to be able to say that at the end of the year. It's a good thing to be able to say at any time. I've read the Bible. I've read the Bible through all the way. Good. But that's not the reason you did it. You shouldn't be reading your Bible to get a sticker. We're about to start school next week. Brother Dunbar will give out scripture passages, and the kids will they'll read it every morning every morning of every day of school, and then they have to memorize it. And when they memorize it and say it, they get a sticker, and they can put the sticker on their chart at their office. And then there's a big Bible memory chart that's got every kid's name on it. They can put the sticker on that. We don't do it so we can put stickers up there and say, look at there. Look how many stickers I've got. But it ought to be done so we can talk about how wonderful it was to be in the presence of God. Sometimes it's good to read a while and then just stop and not just say, well, I've got to get through this much, but to read it and really let God speak to your heart while you're reading. Just to be in his presence. So when you leave, it shows up. It shows up. Your conduct, your character. Every way, kid, your countenance, we see there's a difference. There's just a difference about you. Your continuance. Man, anybody else would have quit. Yeah, but I've been spending time with Jesus. I've been spending time with him. Say, man, how can you be content with everything that's available? Man, because I've spent time with him. That's contentment. Are you spending that time with him? Does it show up in your life? People see it. Well, it's a good thing if somebody come along and say, man, there's something. They may not realize what it is. They may not realize. They might not be like those folks there in Acts chapter 4 that looked at Peter and John and said, well, y'all been with Jesus. But there ought to be something about it. It ought not to be, well, there's a certain glow about you. And they'll say, have you got on new makeup? No. There ought to be that glow on you because God's spent some time with you and you spent time with him. And it's shown. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Help us to have a desire, first of all, to be with you. Lord, you're not going to force yourself on us. We've got to want to be in your presence. We've got to be willing to come. Lord, from the testimony of the folks that are here tonight, either they're saved or they're liars. And Lord, if we're saved, there ought to be a desire to spend time with you. Just to be with you. Just to be in your presence. Just to have you speak to us. Lord, would you help us to be that kind of people? Would you help us to be that kind of people? And have a love for you and have a desire be in your presence as much as we can. Lord, we'd take every opportunity we can to be there, to be in your presence. And Lord, may it make a difference in our lives that the world can see. May it show up for them. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to have you tonight. I'm glad you're here. You're dismissed.